Printmaking has been part of the Whispering Gallery stories since season one. But this episode, we're leaving Duru's UFO woodblock rents and Yoshitoshi's ghosts. But much like results from rubbings, the lines can be a bit fuzzy between, say, frottage, French for rubbings that were focused on textures like wood, a notable artist, Max Ernst, and apparitions, coined by Henry Machau, and the category of rubbings themselves. I'm not just focusing on this kind of printmaking, but it'll be good to know about by the time we've made it through today's story. I'm going to quote from the fieldmuseum.org on the Chinese rubbings collection. The earliest known Chinese rubbings date to between 627 and 649 AD, during the Tang Dynasty. And the collection of rubbings as an important cultural practice was recorded as early as the Five Dynasties period, 907 to 960 AD. Britannica.com states, "Rubbing, one of the most universal and perhaps the oldest of the techniques used in printmaking. Rubbings are made by carefully pressing paper onto a carved or incised surface, so that the paper conforms to the features to be copied. The paper is then blacked and the projecting areas of the surface become dark, while indented areas remain white. In East Asia, a special ink is used, and in the West, a mixture of wax and carbon black, called heelball, is rubbed onto the paper. A carefully made rubbing provides an accurate full-scale facsimile of the surface reproduced. Every day as a teenager, I would pass two framed rubbings created in a brownish-red crayon of sorts of two individual dancers from a temple in Thailand." Let's wipe away the dusty cobwebs at the edges of our memories. Did you ever take a pencil or crayon and take a rubbing of an image? When you make a rubbing, it's like magic seeing the reproduction of the surface appear, although you are just rubbing the crayon or pencil across the surface to get the desired reproduction. Maybe it was an embossed book or a sampler of autumn leaves showing their shapes and textures. Or maybe you know someone or have done this yourself and taken a rubbing from a place you've visited, whether for the art, a memoir, or for the information. Genealogists have used rubbings as a tool to record birth and death dates from a tombstone. I thought a poem would be a nice way to get started, add a bit of mood to the story. I know you're just dying for us to continue. In Memoriam by Alfred Lord Tennyson, who lived from 1809 to 1892. Old you, which graspeth at the stones, that name the underlying dead, thy fibers net the dreamless head, thy roots are wrapped about the bones. The seasons bring the flower again, and bring the firstling to the flock, and in the dusk of thee the clock beats out the little lives of men. O, not for thee the glow the bloom, who changes not in any gale, nor branding summer suns avail to touch thy thousand years of gloom. And gazing on thee, sullen tree, sick for thy stubborn hardihood, I seem to fail from out my blood and grow incorporate into thee. That was from Aldworth, aldworth.info. So far, so not spooky, you say. Let's just remember to keep our flashlights close as we head into the Whispering Gallery, and for this story, the cemetery. Join me to discover a handful of headstones worthy of a photo, a rubbing, and yes, even a recipe card.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Whispering Gallery. I am so glad you're here. Are you ready to dive into the spooky and unexplained world of art? If you're new to the Whispering Gallery, together we explore spooky, spine-tingling, and hard-to-believe art stories, including cursed paintings, prints of monsters, hauntings, UFOs, and more. History and artists from around the world guide us through spine-tingling and hard-to-believe art stories that are best told after dark. Subscribe to join our community of spooky art fans, and please share an episode you love with a friend. Remember to keep your flashlight close and your spooky art stories closer. Look for us everywhere you find your podcasts, like Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Podcast Addict, and Pandora, and you can listen online. There's still a bit of traffic to cemeteries, from ghost hunting groups, to teenagers finding out if local haunting legends are true, to those visiting loved ones, and others are simply there to walk their dogs in a quiet place. Brooklyn, New York, Logan, Utah, and Castor, Louisiana have something in common. A small but unique, could we call it a micro-trend, being engraved on headstones? The usual details are there, but something else is there too, showing these good souls and their families were thinking outside of the recipe box? These are what I'm calling the secret recipes of unusual headstones. Wikipedia states, a stele, or occasionally stella, plural stellas, were derived from Latin and is a stone or wooden slab, generally taller than it is wide, erected in the ancient world as a monument. The surface of a stele often has text, ornamentation, or both. And now from arce.org, a stela is an upright monument containing information in the form of texts, images, or a combination of the two. Stelae have been used to commemorate people or events, to delineate physical spaces, or as objects through which to access the dead or divine. We're not talking sculptures, plaques, or other things, not etchings, but engravings and hand-carved into the stone, epitaphs, and statistical facts, but here and there, a recipe. Yes, you heard that right. Welcome to the Whispering Gallery podcast. In this episode, we dip a toe in tombstones, but not just any tombstone. I actually wrote a poem for this episode. It's called Where is Betty Crocker Buried? I wrote this for you and me, dear listener, so just for this episode, because of the non-trending early printing technique of rubbing. A foggy gravestone rubbing, refined with sweeps of waxy crayon. The serif swoops and bold sans fonts save the engraved season. Dates of life and more to go, about the one who lies below. Day breathes a wistful sound, cold granite and marble lounge. Cut flowers, patches of clover, a garden of memories mark. Others simply come to walk their dogs alone after dark. Selfies and photos are a touch away, while a headstone rubbing is here to stay. Home cooking carefully with a kitchen range, a lingering recipe beneath a graveyard tree is strange. Beyond somber shadows where rainbows end, where familiar homemade recipes blend. Ingredients for peach cobbler, fudge, and cookies too. Take a rubbing and a family recipe will come to you. Recipes set in stone typography, carved with care for us to see. The sun over the graveyard swiftly fades, another cherished family recipe saved. Rubbings of headstones art, in fact, makes me wonder where Betty Crocker's buried at. just who is she? She's not one person, rather a persona that turned 100 in 2021. This was before Food Network, all recipes, and even sharing recipes on your blog was cool. Betty Crocker was actually a group of cooks, bakers, and dietitians, born from a contest created by Gold Medal Flour. There was a puzzle to be solved, and you could send in to get a flower-shaped pincushion. 30,000 people responded, and some of the people included baking questions with their puzzles. So Samuel Gale, the head of the advertising department, which was made up of men, and during the time, he felt the woman writing in would prefer to hear back from another woman. Okay, at the Whispering Gallery, we know y'all can cook. So, all y'all. The advertising team would talk to the women in the Gold Medal Home Service staff and get answers for the customers there. And these would be signed by the secretary, Florence Lindeberg. Moving from letter writing onto the radio with the Betty Crocker Cooking School of the Air, and then to TV on NBC. So if you want to know more, check out pbs.org/food/the-history-kitchen/who-was-Betty-Crocker. And there's a quote from Sex and the City. This is from Miranda, speaking to Carrie's answering machine. Quote, "Your good friend Miranda has just taken a piece of cake out of the garbage and eaten it. You will probably need this information when you check me into the Betty Crocker Clinic." Unquote. Did you know that there are more than birth and death dates on some grave markers? You've probably caught sight of somber or everlasting words, maybe art of trees, flowers, portraits, buildings, icons like hearts and birds, etc. There might be a spot for a medallion related to military service, but there's one thing I hadn't heard about. It might be new to you, too. Have you heard of recipes being carved on a headstone? You may know that your aunt's recipe for a pasta salad is given out to no one. Or the gingerbread recipe from Grandma, giving a new meaning to "they'll get it over my dead body." Yes, I'm sure we've all had recipes like that. But given the amount of time we spend at work, parenting, and just living life, it's kind of hard to understand why we wouldn't share our best recipes with each other to save time and share the yum. But people were protective, my family included. Ginger crackles was one of the most protected recipes that actually I feel had to be shared or lost. There are a few people leading the way in finding these unique headstones with recipes, leading the rest of us who are curious. Cooking with the Dead, a Zine of Tombstone Recipes, is a collection of literally that, recipes found on tombstones. You can buy it on Etsy under Reading Eloquary. And Rosie Grant, who documents her finds of recipes in the cemeteries and her subsequent baking adventures, are at Ghostly Archive on TikTok. I've got to say that seeing what these creative bakers have left on their headstones, makes me rethink having one. If I could leave a recipe for my friends, maybe that's not so bad. Granite is stronger than marble and won't be so quick to weather. I've been hanging out with the Wasatch Gem Society. I helped them prepare for a large rock show that comes up in April. I'll post the details to Facebook, and I hope you can come. I'll be there with the Rocky Mountain Docks and Rescue. We're having a fundraiser. Long story short about the rocks, I've been learning a lot, and I've done some reading, and marble is a 3 on the Mohs hardness scale, and granite is a 6 to 7. On Mohs hardness scale. So for long-lasting durability, I think granite being harder is probably the best choice for a headstone. So the first headstone recipe we're going to talk about is from O'Neill Boggan Peony Watson. She was born in 1914 and died in 2005 at the age of 90. She is buried in the New Ebenezer Cemetery in Castor, Bienville Parish, Louisiana, USA. And family recipes etched in stone, gravestone that is, these families have found a novel way to record them for posterity. And here's the recipe. O'Neill's Peach Cobbler, as it's listed on the headstone. 1 cup of flour, 2 teaspoons baking powder, 2/3 cup sugar, 1/2 cup butter, 1/4 teaspoon salt. Mix ingredients. Add 3/4 cup milk. Put fruit into the pan. Pour on the topping. Bake at 350 until done. And remember, my friends, I appeciate you. Ah! Ooh. So a few years back, I took a class with some of my family on ghost hunting. One of the cemeteries or locations that we visited was the Salt Lake City Cemetery. The cemetery is on 200 N Street. Quoting the SLC.gov website, it says it contains approximately 122 acres with 9.5 miles of roads. There are 130,000 burial sites in the Salt Lake City Cemetery, with just over 125,000 buried currently. On Deseret.com, Deseret News, 10 Unique Graves in Utah for Memorial Day by Hannah Murdoch, May 25, 2019, 1:26 p.m., it states that in the Salt Lake City Cemetery, there is the victim of the beast. The grave of Lily E. Gray in the Salt Lake City Cemetery reads, quote, victim of the beast 666, unquote. According to Fox 13 News, Lily died of natural causes and it was her husband Elmer Gray who ordered the tombstone. No one knows why he chose this bizarre epitaph, but it certainly makes it one of the most unique graves in Utah. There's one other that I want to quote from this article. Emo's Grave. Nicknamed Emo's Grave, the final resting place of a man named Jacob Moritz, is actually a mausoleum. Born in Germany in 1849, Moritz was a brewery owner in Salt Lake City. Now his grave is a popular site for teenagers and folklorists who believe you can see his ghost inside the mausoleum. According to the Deseret News, Moritz's ashes used to be held in the urn inside the mausoleum, but have been moved to an undisclosed location due to the large amount of visitors. These were two of the graves that were spoken about in the class we took at a local high school. Recipe number 2 is nut roll cookies found on Ida Kleiman's tombstone, written in Hebrew, located at Rehovot Cemetery in Rehovot, Israel. I apologize if I said any of that wrong. These cookies had strawberry jam, Turkish delight, pecans. I don't know Hebrew, so there's a language barrier, and I'm not able to read her recipe, so unfortunately I can't share this one. From the Lithuania Jewish Cemetery Project, January 11, 2016, on Facebook, quote, touching and moving matziva from Israel. A matziva is a tombstone. Matziva, tombstone of Ida Kleinman. Epitaph reads, quote, my mother baked my whole world from most sweet cakes. My yearnings are closed within myself like bubbles in a loaf of bread. And then epitaph continues, nut cookies from Grandma Ida. Dough, 200 grams of butter. 1 yolk, 1 sour cream. Add 359 grams of flour. Put all for 1 hour to the fridge. They leave the recipe with a dot, dot, dot. What do you call a metric cookie? A graham cracker. That one's from Scary Mommy. Okay, so continuing. Recipe 3 is Kay's Fudge. This one's closer to home. This one's in Utah. Kay Andrews has a recipe for fudge on her headstone in Logan, Utah, and the Logan Cemetery. It's been tweeted about by KSL.com, which is a local news source. And at one point, there was a typo on the recipe, but that's been fixed. it had called for more vanilla than the recipe had called for, and I think the liquid could have screwed up the setting up of the fudge. Every time I make fudge, it never sets up. So maybe I'll try Kay's recipe. As found etched on her gravestone in Logan, Utah, here's her recipe. Kay's fudge. 2 squares chocolate. 2 tablespoons butter. Melt on low heat. Stir in 1 cup milk, bring to boil. 3 cups sugar. 1 teaspoon vanilla. Pinch of salt. Cook to soft ball stage. Pour on marble slab. Cool and beat and eat. Wherever she goes, there's laughter. Recipe 4 is the last one we're going to be covering, and it's for Spritz cookies from the Greenwood Cemetery in New York. Founded in 1838, there are 570,000 residents in that cemetery, so that's much bigger than the Salt Lake one. This is from the headstone of Naomi Odessa Miller Dawson's headstone. The tombstone is set with some floriography on the actual front of it, and at the top, it looks like a book that is open. And on the 2 pages is written the recipe, or part of the recipe. Spritz cookies, 1 cup of butter or margarine, 3/4 cup of sugar, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 1 egg, 2 1/4 cups of flour, 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder, and 1/8 teaspoon of salt. And that's how they have it listed right on the tombstone. Quoting green-wood.com/history, the Greenwood Cemetery was founded in 1838 as one of America's first rural cemeteries. Still an active cemetery, the Greenwood of today is also a cultural institution, an outdoor museum that tells the history and evokes the cultures of the borough, the city, and the nation. Today, Greenwood's 478 acres serve as the final resting place for over 570,000 permanent residents. Thanks for listening today. I hope you'll share this episode with a friend. You can join the Facebook page and Instagram to see the art that complements the stories. And you can comment and share your thoughts there. I love to hear from you guys. If you have any haunted tales from the art studio, please share them at whisperingcontact@gmail.com, and I'll share them in a coming episode. If you would like to support the Whispering Gallery, the research, reference books, art books, tech, and presenting the stories, you can subscribe to Patreon, where I'm still new, but working on sharing some extra content and resources with you. When you've just got to have the bigger picture about these stories, that's where you'll find it. If you'd like to support the Whispering Gallery podcast, but money is tight, please consider leaving us a rating and review at your favorite podcast hub. You can find the Whispering Gallery online at facebook.com/whisperinggallerystories. On Instagram, it's the Whispering Gallery Podcast. On Patreon, it's patreon.com/SuzanneNicolaisonArt. patreon.com/SuzanneNicolaisonArt. On Buy Me a Coffee, it's SuzNickArt, SuzNickArt. Studio news. I didn't share this news earlier. I feel like I should share it now. Our sweet dog, Willie, a black and tan dachshund, crossed the Rainbow Bridge just before Christmas. We are heartbroken, and our little Shotzi, our little red dachshund, has been pretty broken up about it, too. That is, I think, the news this time. Thank you for listening to what may be the tastiest and maybe least spooky episode of the Whispering Gallery. Please reach out to say hi and let me know if you make any of the tombstone recipes. I just ordered my Zion Cooking with the Dead. I hope your new year is off to a good start and that you're able to catch the sunshine when it's out. Take care and remember to keep your flashlight close when visiting the Whispering Gallery.